Amen. Would you go with me, please, to Romans 12? I want to read the first two verses in the King James and again in the Passion Translation. Paul speaking to the church at Rome. Who is he speaking to? So he wasn't out there witnessing. He was speaking to the church. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Huh? He's telling the church, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Who's he talking to?
The church.
Then take a deep breath. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, I wanted you to read it that way because that's what most people have, but let me share it with you out of the Passion Translation, because it puts it in a tense of how it is. Beloved friends, what should be our proper response to God's marvelous mercies? I encourage you to surrender yourselves to God to be his sacred living sacrifices and live in holiness, experiencing all that delights his heart. For this becomes your genuine expression of worship. So, you know, doing your praise and worship dance and raising your hands and screaming and spinning around, if you are not living holy, your worship isn't genuine. Verse 2. Stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. Total reformation. That lets us know that the way we're thinking about everything has been wrong. That's what he was telling them. Your thinking's off. And if your thinking is off, then your actions are off. I can say that because Proverbs 4, come back, Proverbs 4. Verse 23 in the New Century Version says, be careful what you think, because your thoughts run your life. Be careful what you think, because your thoughts run your life. And so when I think about what Paul said, and why he said it, it's obvious to me that the church at Rome was operating in error. That the people in the church were not living godly lives. And that was not a great representation of who they were. In John 8:32, Jesus said John 8:31 and 32. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. Say, know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. Well, when I looked up that word know, K-N-O-W, in the concordance, it's not just talking about something you remembered or something you learned. It also means an intimacy. Adam knew Eve and had a child. That intimacy produced. When we are intimate with the word, which means when we have an intimate relationship with Christ, that intimacy will produce something. Freedom. Freedom. Now, I didn't know why God wanted me to use this a few weeks ago when we began this series. But I understood after yesterday, with yesterday being Juneteenth, and I started reading things about it, and I read myself happy, thinking about the two comparatively. The Emancipation Proclamation, which was Proclamation 95, was an executive order issued by the United States President Abraham Lincoln on January 1st, 1863, during the Civil War. The proclamation changed the legal status of more than 3.5 enslaved African Americans. Now think about this. I asked you this question a few weeks ago. When were the slaves made free? The moment the president's signature was on that document, they were made free. How many of them walked? Did all of them walk in their freedom? No. Why not? Some didn't know. Some it was kept from, you know, some just didn't know. Others, that's right, Minister Denise. Others, there was deception. There was a number of reasons. But the signed proclamation didn't lose its power because some people weren't talking about it, or some people were hiding it or keeping it from people. It still had the same power that it had when it was originally signed. Still had the same power. So what had to happen? People needed to know. So the job of the Union Army was to go into these cities and enforce and establish that proclamation. Why? Because they were authorized by the signature that was on the document. The one who authorized the document, they took that and went around and pronounced freedom from slavery in the name of the one who signed that document. Now, the document was signed in 1863. It took them 2 years or 2.5 years for everyone to accept it and know. And Texas was the last Confederate state that was in rebellion to the order. And Major General Gardner went to Texas and established the rights given under the Emancipation Proclamation to everybody in the state. Almost 3 years later. They didn't become free 3 years later. They were free the moment it was signed. Why am I telling you this? I'm not just giving you a history lesson. I didn't like history when I was in school. I like it more now. But this is what the Holy Ghost said to me. In the same way, we have to understand that what we say is backed up by all the power of heaven and all the power of earth, because we've been sent by the one who signed the decree, and that makes all the difference in the world. We've been sent by the one who signed the decree. Matthew 28, verse 16 to 18. This is Matthew's version of the Great Commission. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now I have a favorite question that I ask often. What does all mean?
All.
What's left out of all? So when someone says all, It means there isn't anything outside of that. It includes every single thing. Well, Jesus said, all power in heaven and in earth. What's left? All power in heaven, all power in earth was given to Jesus. All power. Well, what type of power did he get? I thought it was going to say dunamis. You know, because that's just my thinking. It's strong and powerful and crush and, you know. But that word, according to the coordinates, is exousia. The ability or strength with which one is endued, which he either possesses or exercises, the power of authority or influence, and of privilege. But then I came across this one. The power of him whose will and commands must be submitted to by others and obeyed. Must be. No one can get away from must be. No thing can get away from must be. Jesus said, the power that everything and everyone has to submit to and obey was given to me. That's what he was saying. And this wasn't a maybe, this is a must be. There's a difference. He didn't say, maybe I'll have all power. Maybe things will listen to it. No. It's the power of one whose will must be submitted to and obeyed. That's why in Philippians it says he was given a name that's above every name. Why? Because every name has to submit to and obey his authority. Every name. We don't think like that. We think that only some names. We think if we sneeze, diagnosed with hay fever, Jesus can handle that. But if it's cancer, we have to do something else. When did cancer be raised above the name of Jesus? What was the decree, the Emancipation Proclamation, that freed sickness? No, it has to submit and obey the name of Jesus because he's the one who signed the decree making us free. Now, he did it over 2,000 years ago, and it's just as powerful today as it was then. We don't think like that. And we have to. Turn to your neighbor and say, this is not a maybe. It's a must be. In Colossians 2, I saw verse 14. Now I saw with 13. And you who were dead in trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, your sensuality and your sinful carnal nature, this is the Amplified Bible, God brought to life together with Christ, having freely forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled and blotted and wiped away the handwriting of the note, the bond, with its legal decrees and demands, which was in force and stood against us, hostile to us. This note, this proclamation, with its regulations, decrees, and demands, he set aside and cleared completely out of the way by nailing it to his cross. Now, Why didn't he just nail it on the side of City Hall? Why did it have to be nailed to the cross? Anything that was nailed to the cross died. The Bible says, cursed is anyone that hangs on a tree, so that the blessings of Abraham might fall onto the You need to think about that. The Emancipation Proclamation said slavery is dead. Jesus nailing to the cross said our connection to sin severed. The penalty that we had earned because of the way we sinned, canceled. Canceled. Why? Because his will must be submitted to and obeyed. So sin that wants to collect its wages found itself bankrupt because there were no wages to collect. Because it was nailed to the cross. And anything nailed to the cross dies. Dies. Took the life. Right, sucked the life right out of sin. For us. For us. Took the life out of every accusation. Took the life out of every sickness. Every disease. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And he didn't just do it for those who were born again. It's available to everybody. They just don't know it. That's why he came and he told them, all power in heaven and in earth is given to me. Go. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. There's that word again. That means even those nations in the Middle East that we don't like as Americans. He said, go into all the world. All the world. Why? He wants everybody emancipated. Everybody. So we need to understand and we need to keep thinking that whatever Jesus says and whatever Jesus does is backed up by all the power in heaven and all the power in earth. And whatever or whoever he's addressing with that must submit and must obey. This is what he told me that I was getting ready to come out of my office and come back here. And he said, the withered hand. And I knew exactly what he was talking about. So I went back to my desk and put the note here. Matthew 12, you don't have this one, Lynette. Matthew 12, verses 10 to 13, King James Version. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And they asked that they might accuse him. And he said to them, what man shall there be among you that have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay the hold on it and lift it out? Can you imagine? Something trying to say, I got to come back Sunday evening. You keep treading water You'll make it. How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore, it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. Then he said to the man, stretch forth thy hand. Guess what he did not say? He did not say, stretch forth your withered hand.
That's right. That's right.
Now you have two hands. You know this one's withered. And someone says, stretch forth your hand. Well, as far as I'm concerned, I only have one. Not if you've changed the way you think. Not if you've gone through a total reformation of how you think. By being intimate with the truth. And letting that truth make you free. Stretch forth thy hand. And the Bible says that his hand was stretched out just as good as the other one. Why? Because Jesus had exousia. All exousia in heaven, all exousia in earth. And everything that he addressed must had no choice other than to submit and obey. Say, submit and obey. Now in Matthew 8, he entered a village in Capernaum, or Capernaum, however you want to say it. A captain of the Roman army approached him, asking for a miracle. This is out of the Passion Translation. Verse 6. Lord, he said, I have a son who's lying in my home, paralyzed and suffering terribly. Jesus responded, I will go with you and heal him. But the Roman officer interjected, Lord, who am I to have you come into my house? I understand your authority. I understand that you have power, that everything you say, everything you do must obey. I understand that. He said, you know why I understand it? I too am a man who walked under authority and have authority over soldiers who serve under me. I tell one to go and he'll go, and to another come and he'll come. I order my servants and they'll do whatever I ask. So I know that all you need do is stand here and command healing over my son, and he will be instantly healed. Jesus was astonished when he heard this. Why? Because people in Jerusalem weren't talking like that. They didn't know that they could be made free. Jesus was astonished when he heard this, and he said to those who were with him, he has greater faith than anyone I've ever encountered in Israel. Listen to what I'm about to tell you. Multitudes of non-Jewish people will stream from the east and west to enter into the banqueting feast of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the heavenly kingdom. Many folks who are not born again are going to hear the truth about Jesus Christ, and they're going to come a-running.
That's right.
But many Israelites, many people who've confessed Jesus will be turned away and banished into darkness, where there will be bitter weeping and unbearable anguish. Why? Because they chose not to believe all. They only wanted to believe some. Verse 13. Then Jesus said to the Roman officer, he turned to the Roman officer and said, go home. All that you have believed for will be done for you. And his son was healed at that very moment. Why? Because all power and authority was given to him. All the power of heaven and all the power on earth was given to him, and his will and commands must be obeyed. Must be submitted to. Must be. Has no choice. Has no say. I tell the boys when they're growing up, go make up your beds. And I come back about 10 minutes later and it's not done. And they're outside. I called them from their room, didn't open a window, didn't call from the door. I'm standing in their room and called them. Guys! And they came up. What did I tell you? That's all I said. What did I tell you? They went and they started making up the beds. So I said, what did I tell you? They knew. I said, the next time I'm not going to call you. They knew what that meant also. You talk to our oldest son now. I don't know how many of you saw the Clint Eastwood movie, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. And that music. Well, to hear our oldest son tell it, he'd say, Dad would say something, and I would hear two things. First, I'd hear, then I'd hear those two awful words. Then what? Drop them. That's what stuff hears when Jesus says, go. And it starts to go. And that doesn't go leaving like this. So let me get out of here. He didn't want Jesus to have to say it twice. See, that Roman officer understood that Jesus' commands must be submitted to. So much so that he staked his son's life on it. That's how strong his belief was. That's how strong his thoughts were. But it didn't stop there. In that same series of events, then Jesus went into Peter's home, and then Peter's mother-in-law was bedridden and severely ill with a fever. Jesus touched her hand, she got up and started cooking dinner. The moment he touched her, that evening, people brought to him many who were demonized. And by Jesus only speaking a word of healing over them, they were totally set free from their torment. And everyone that was sick received the healing. All he did, he spoke a word over them. Why did that work? Because what he said was backed up by all the power of heaven and all the power of earth, and it had to submit and obey. See, we have to stop thinking about the size of the attacker. Instead, think about the truth of the word. The truth was David was in covenant and Goliath was not. So all David had to do was fling the stone. He'd take him out, stone. Dead giant. We have to totally reform the way we think so that we can believe and act like that. If we're not believing like that, if we're not acting like that, we're not thinking like that. Instead of thinking victory, we're thinking doom and gloom. Jesus never thought doom and gloom. Never. I think I got one more thing I want to say. Mark 16, same account given a different way, but this is the Great Commission also. This is just Mark's version. We looked at Matthew's version. After he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen, then he said to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues. Why in his name? Because his signature is the one on the document. His signature states, I have all the power necessary to make this happen. So I decree this is the way it is. In my name shall they cast out devils. That's why it didn't work for the seven sons of Sceva. In the name of Jesus, Paul preaches about. The demons probably said, did you hear what he said? In the name of Jesus, and Paul preaches about. Let me tell you something, buddy. I know Jesus. And I've heard about Paul. But who are you? And one demon beat the clothes off seven men. I don't think he didn't even say drop them. He just dropped them. Said beaten and bloody, they got away as best they could. Why? They didn't think about who Jesus really is. Because if they thought about it, they'd have went looking and they would have found. Because Jesus said, if you seek and you'll find. If they didn't find, they weren't seeking. People tell me, I'm looking for God. No, you're not. Yes, I am, Pastor. I said, don't cry. The word, do you believe the word is true? Yes. Well, the word says seek and you'll find. You say you're seeking and you're not finding. So that means since the word is true, you're not really seeking. You're not, Jesus said, knock and I'll open. You're not, you're like, he's probably not going to do anything for me. I know the type of life I used to live. I guess I'm going to just stay like this till the day I die. I might as well have as much fun as I can have now because I know I'm going to bust hell wide open. Change the way you think. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So when Jesus sent them out, lay hands on the sick, speak in new tongues. You pick up serpents, they won't harm you. You drink anything poison, it won't harm you. You lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. All of those things he said, and all of those things that he said, was backed up by all the power in heaven and all the power in the earth. And because he charged them, us, all the power needed to do it, is transferred. Transferred to who? To us. So when we say in the name of Jesus, everything starts moving. Even that thing that you're about to start backing up. Saying, please don't say that. Please don't say it. I think about it, when it gets to G, it's gone. You just hear this because it's gone. because it must submit and it must obey. It must submit and it must obey. This is not a maybe submit and maybe obey. It is a must be. A must be. I think I have one more. In Colossians 2. Because you should be thinking about this. Once you receive, once you know you've been made free, once you understand that the document securing your freedom was already signed and posted, once you understand that everything against you is dead. That's why the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. How'd they pass away? They were nailed to the cross. And everything nailed to a cross dies. Old things are passed away, and all things have become new. That means there should be nothing about you that's old. Because all includes everything. And it says, all things have not will. All things have become new. So some verses in Colossians 2, verse 6, says, therefore you have received Christ, even Jesus our Lord, live and act in vital union with him. This is from the Passion Translation. Having the roots of your being firmly planted in him and continually building yourselves up in him and always being increasingly confirmed in the faith as you were taught it and abounding in it with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Take care lest there be someone who leads you away as prisoners by means of his philosophy and idle fancies, some other stuff keeps trying to come out. Lord, I'm only going to say those things you tell me to say. Take care lest there be someone who leads you away as prisoners by means of his philosophy and idle fancies, following human traditions and the world's crude notions instead of following Christ. For it's in Christ that the fullness of God's nature dwells embodied. And in him, you are made complete. Prison ministry team was meeting with some men that were living in a home. They were incarcerated, and they were set free. They'd served their sentence. And they were talking about, you know, how it gets lonely. And one of our young men said something very profound. He said to them, loneliness is not the absence of people. Loneliness is the absence of purpose. No, you have to have people around or you're lonely. Really? Why do you sit down by yourself and put together a 5,000-word jigsaw puzzle? You don't put, I'm so lonely. I wish I had some friends here. No, you are absorbed in what you're doing. Your purpose is, I'm going to finish this. I'm going to finish this. And next thing you know, it's no different than when I sit down to prepare. I think, well, about 3 hours. It's like the third hour. Like, because I keep seeing things. And I'm over here, and I'll see something, I'm like, whoa, now I'm over here. And I see something, and I'm, whoa, now I'm over here. My purpose is to get a good meal for all of you. And not only don't I care if I'm by myself, most of the time, I don't want to be interrupted. So stop, because you're by, you happen to be in a place by yourself. Stop saying, I'm lonely. Find out what you're supposed to be doing. Because purpose will always be your company. And your purpose, listen to this. You know what would be latched onto your purpose? All the power of heaven and all the power on earth. Because the one who gave you that purpose signed the document. And no one can erase it. It wasn't signed with invisible ink. Okay? As I shared earlier, the bond with its requirements, which was enforced against us and was hostile to us, he canceled, cleared it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, and the hostile princes and rulers he shook off from himself. Ooh. The hostile princes and rulers he shook off from himself and boldly displayed them as conquests. Anyone that tries to tell you you're not free, you shake it off.
Right.
You shake it off.
Right.
You shake it off for yourself.
Right.
You know, Pastor, this king keeps bothering me. Shake it off.
Yes.
I can shake it off, so you haven't been thinking about this. You got to think about who you are in Christ, folks. It needs to dominate our thinking. So that when we act based on who we are, not by what we're feeling. Your feelings will get you in trouble. Your feelings will get you in trouble. You need to be intimate with the truth, and that intimacy will produce freedom. You've been delivered. The Son has made us free. So we're free indeed. Suffer no one. I mean, don't let anyone sit in on judgment on you. You don't have to operate based on what other people say. Let no one defraud you of your prize. No one. You keep thinking about who you are in Christ, because a man's thoughts will lead to his actions. Guard your thoughts. Guard it well. Because your life flows through it. I think I'll close with this. I think I said it, but I'll repeat it. Texas, the last union, the last Confederate state that was in rebellion to the Emancipation Proclamation, was declared free, slave free. It was declared slave free not because General Granger came with a mighty army. He did come, but they were declared free because of what was done 2.5 years ago. We are free, not because we're this great, mighty, mighty army, we are, but we're declared free because of what was done over 2,000 years ago. And it's up to us to enforce that freedom. Father, we thank you. We give you all glory, honor, and stretch forth thy withered hand. Stretch it forth. All the power required to do that is here. Why? Because Jesus said so. He said, say it. I said it. All the power in heaven and all the power on earth has to come and back it up. Do it again. Just go like this. And shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You are free. Stand up and shake that leg. Just shake it out. That's right, just shake it out. Turn your neck all the way to the right and all the way to the left. Just your neck. Don't swing your shoulders. Just turn your neck. Put it to the back. Say it's good to be free. All the power of heaven, all the power of earth, at work on your behalf right now. Because infirmity was nailed to the cross. Nailed to the cross. Those feelings of depression, stand, throw your hands in the air. Stand, throw your hands in the air. Scream out hallelujah. Say, I got joy. It's like a river. And it runs all over me. Say, I've got joy. All the power of heaven and all the power on earth is at work now. And it has freed me from depression. That's right. Give the Lord a praise. That's all right. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory, glory. Just stand up and take a couple of deep breaths right now. Your breathing will improve. Just take a deep breath and exhale. Take another deep breath and exhale. Heartbeats are slowing down. They're slowing down and it's not racing anymore. Why? Because all the power of heaven and all the power on earth is at work right now. And your body has to submit and obey the one who signed the proclamation and whose intimacy with us made us free. made us free. Hallelujah. You can sit back down. Sit back down.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory, glory, glory. Bless his name.
Somebody just got their appetite back. Just stand and say, I'm hungry. Starve. There you go. Right. Well, we'll dismiss quickly so you can go get some. All the power of heaven and all the power on earth is at work right now. And it has to be submitted to and obeyed. That's how I'm going to think from now on. No, say that like you mean it. No, that's not it. Say it again. That's right. That's how I'm going to think from now on. No. If the Son, therefore, has made you free, you are free indeed. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And that proclamation will become active in you. Active in you. Active in you. Why? You must be born again. You have the power. You have all the power of heaven and all the power in earth at work in you right now, so that if you have not received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can. You can. Included in the proclamation. So if you're here or you're online and you've never received Jesus Christ as Savior, just stand where you are. Online, just send a comment. I don't see anyone standing in here. Don't know if anyone commented online, but they're shaking their head no, but just in case. I don't know how you can be shy online. We can't see you. But everybody say this. It won't hurt. Father,
I believe
that you are God,
and
I believe
that Jesus Christ of Nazareth
is your son. I believe he went to the cross and died for the sins of mankind. I believe he was buried and went to hell in my place. And I also believe that after spending 3 days in hell, God, you raised him from the dead. So Jesus, I ask you, come into my heart. Come into my life. I've turned from my past ways as an act of repentance, and I turn to you, and I ask you, make something new of me. And it's in your name that I pray. Well, again, the Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead, you're saved. You said it, you believed it, it's done. It's done. So if this is your first time here, just whether you stood or not, just raise your hand. Why do I want you to raise your hand? So we have an information packet we just want to give to you. That's all. I knew you were going to try and get me to go to this church. No, we're not. We're always welcome to come back. We're not going to have your picture on the front saying, don't let this person back in. We just want to get some free information to you. Online, the contact information is there. Please contact us and let us know that you made that confession today and we will send you free of charge an information pack. You don't even have to pay shipping and handling. We got it all covered. But what's more important is you are now covered by all the power in heaven and all the power on earth because you've become a sent one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're free because Jesus did it for us over 2,000 years ago. And what he did then is just as powerful today. Think on those things.